Well, the Minister for Education and Training visiting the Central Coast today in wake of Gonski 2.0 getting the green light in Federal Parliament last week. Now, the Minister for Education and Training is Simon Birmingham, and he is in the studio with us this morning.
Good morning,
good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Patty. G'day, Sarah.
Thanks for joining us. It's an early start, we know. A little chilly out there, and you've got a very busy day, and you've had a very busy last couple of months putting all this stuff together. It's been quite the ride.
It's been a pretty intense couple of months. Now, ultimately, when you're investing $23 billion worth of taxpayer money, you want to be busy, you want to be working hard, and you want to be making sure that it goes to those who need it most. And that's the whole point of the Gonski school funding reforms, to direct money into the schools who need it most. And here across the Central Coast, that's seeing a real uplift for a good number of schools.
Now, we are Facebook booking this live too, if you want to go to 2gofm.com.au, our Facebook page.
Yep, you'll see how we didn't really tidy up that well. But some people still aren't happy. Like, you'd think with this kind of news that everyone should be, yay, but there's still people who aren't happy. Some sectors saying that this isn't going to be as great as it seems.
Look, there are those who will always ask for more or want a better deal. What we're applying is the Gonski needs-based formula consistently across the country, so that over the next 6 years, all schools will see steady growth where they need it to provide them with the same type of needs-based model in funding. And that means that across the Central Coast, you're seeing a lift in support of around $3,000 per student, or about $7.4 million per school over that time frame.
Now, Simon, I know you're at Terrigal this morning. $9.7 million they'll be receiving. Mate, is it up to the school where that money goes, or how does that work?
Yep, indeed. So, you know, schools obviously have the challenges of meeting teacher wages and salaries and other costs, but they are able, through the distribution of their state government of the funding or of the Catholic education system, or if they're an independent school, directly to decide whether they're going to pump it into extra speech pathologists or gives extra support to other services in the school that can really help students who need it. You know, this is ultimately all about getting a better outcome for our kids. We want to ensure that with all of this extra money flowing into education, we do get the best bang for a record buck as such. Mm. Make sure that that we're lifting student outcomes, because that's what it's all about.
A lot of kids on the coast go to Catholic schools. What about them?
Yep, so Catholic education sees strong growth in funding as well. On average across New South Wales, that's around 4% growth per annum over the next few years per student. So that's good, strong growth above wages, above inflation, but allowing extra support.
It's still less than what they would have received, though. We're hearing reports 4.6 less than what they would have received.
Look, if you do a comparison with the unfunded promises Julia Gillard made back in 2013... yes, you can look in various ways and say people are getting less than they might have got in a parallel universe somewhere. But this is strong growth, real growth into different schools. So I'll be going to Terrigal High this morning. I'll be meeting with some Catholic education principals and school leaders as well to talk about what the extra funding is, how much is likely to flow through to them, and, of course, most importantly, where they think they can use it most effectively for the best outcomes for our school children.
Look, we believe in schools and hospitals. It's a way to go. 10 years, the $23.5 billion, which has been promised. Where are they getting the money from?
Yep, well, we have to, and indeed, this is why, of course, you've got to work through these budget issues carefully. And now we're projected to come back into a budget balance and surplus in 4 years' time. We'll make sure that that still remains the case. That's a very important element of balancing all of these equations. You don't want to leave today's school children cleaning up a bigger debt legacy in the future. Mm. You want to make sure they've got jobs in the future. There are all of those factors as well, which is why you can't go down the huge unfunded spending promises path, but equally why you have to make sure that we've got the type of resources in our schools that we need.
What about private schools?
So private schools are dependent upon their need, and this is about a funding formula developed by David Gonski and his panel some 6 years ago that's never been used properly in the past. Private schools who are wealthier have a greater discount essentially applied to the funding they receive. Private schools that are less affluent receive something closer to their funding, but still a small discount applied relative to the way the funding formula works for the local public school.
But still a strong increase, though, really. Like, is it going to be more?
On average, absolutely, that there is an increase, not as fast as in public education, where we're seeing across the country growth in public education around 6.4% per student per annum. Across the non-government sectors, about 4.9% per student per annum. So significant differential there, all of it being targeted towards need. and of course making sure that we're investing in the schools who need it most.
We're still with the Minister for Education and Training, Mr. Simon Birmingham. He's on the Central Coast today, which is great, heading to Terrigal High, but he's in the studio with us this morning, and we've been asking questions about the $23.5 billion, which is going to be injected into our schools over the next 10 years.
This sounds really great. Look, and you're heading, we're just talking about heading out to Terrigal. Surely at some point today, you're going to be able to be having a lunch somewhere. Well, look, don't tell me the kids are going to make lunch for you at Terrigal.
That's usually one of the highlights if, sort of as education minister on a school visit when they take you through the home ec sort of centre or area and you get to eat what the kids have made. That's usually a pretty good experience. I had a cracking cup of coffee made for me at a high school in Perth yesterday.
Some
good future baristas there.
So I'm with his money, $23.5 billion over 10 years, which is great. As we say, education and hospitals are the two important things. I know in this area, on the Central Coast, two important things. What's your main goal with the money? What is your main goal? What would you love to see for the schools in Australia and on the Central Coast?
And it's interesting that you tie the two together, because the last time I was here was with Lucy Wicks announcing the support for the Gosford Medical Centre and the additional sort of funding and resourcing we're putting in there. And of course, here now with Lucy today, going to Terrigal High. And really, the vision is about ensuring that we have schools across the country where wherever the background, whatever the challenges in a home environment or elsewhere that a child may face, they actually have the support in the school to be able to succeed. That they leave, of course, with the basic literacy, numeracy skills necessary to go out into the world with a job, but also hopefully with higher level skills to pursue further training, apprenticeships, or go off to university, whatever best suits their capabilities, their dreams and aspirations and circumstances.
Being so busy, is it difficult to take in as much info as you can in a day? Like, you're going to meet people today, and there's going to be people who say, look, I don't think this is a great idea at all. I've got issues with the Catholic thing. I've got issues with the public school thing, private school thing. You're going to, obviously not everyone's going to be happy, but do you take on board what teachers say? Do you get to absorb? Are you driving home thinking, now that's a really good point. Maybe we should think of that. Is that something that can happen, or are you just too flat out trying to deliver the message?
You pick up things throughout the day, and look, I find actually the time in schools is really critical. I do have a bit of a mission for later this year where I just want to embed myself for a day or two in a school with the principal, with the teachers, without necessarily having the cameras trailing around or any of those sorts of things, and just get a full appreciation in terms of what they're saying, thinking how they see the priorities. But even on the quick visits, you pick things up from the kids, etc. Again, Perth yesterday, a school in terms of the mental health and well-being programs they're running there, and they have a school dog, an old greyhound that they've rescued, who sort of lives around the library, but is very much there in terms of when they've got teenagers, have got a whole range of different issues, and they sort of bring in the dog as part of the counselling sessions and sometimes just leave the kids to talk to the dog if they're not willing to talk to anybody else. So you sort of see different things that different schools apply. Ultimately, it's all about hopefully having successful, well-rounded kids who graduate and go on from school ready for the rest of the world.
So I would like to know, Christopher Pine, now is he in trouble? Is he in trouble with the party? To other issues.
Oh, look, the media love nothing. There's nothing more titillating than a secret recording of a speech.
Of what
given
he said about
same-sex
marriage.
There's nothing actually terribly surprising to anybody who knows Christopher's views on the topic, because he's been pro-change in relation to same-sex marriage for a long period of time. That's what he told an audience at a private dinner on Friday night. He just gets a whole world of excitement going because it was a secret recording.
But could he really be in trouble for saying that?
I think Christopher's one of our most energetic front benches, very clearly leader of the house.
He's on TV a lot, isn't he?
he's definitely out there a lot selling the government's messages. This is just one of those little storms that comes along.
So he's not under pressure?
I don't imagine. I think everybody's got more important things to do in the government, whether it's me talking about school funding. The Prime Minister was out there talking about rail infrastructure and support in Melbourne, particularly yesterday, additional support in relation to dealing with national security and terrorism issues the day before. I doubt he's terribly distracted by this.
Now, is there another ministry you'd like to hold? like at the moment with education and training? Do you go, oh, I'd like to do this or I'd like to do that?
I love the education portfolio because, you know, politics is full of argy-bargy and the rubbish of, you know, arguments about money rather than outcomes, or the arguments of, you know, how politics happens and leaked speeches and all that type of stuff. But at least in the education portfolio, when I get out on the ground, I can go either to a university with a world-class research institution, or I can go to an early learning centre with cute 3- and 4-year-olds who are, you know, just taking their first steps of learning things in the world, or outstanding schools in between. And all of that, of course, you know, actually helps give you the motivation. So, nope, I love the portfolio I've got. In years to come, if we're lucky enough still to be in government and I'm lucky enough still to be in the ministry, well, who knows?
Prime Minister.
I'm in the Senate. I'm not burdened with such ambitions.
Just quickly, for those who don't know, are you a dad?
Yes, I have 2 little girls, a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old.
And what's it like at school when you rock up and dad is the Minister of Education? You know, I'm just thinking, you know, is that something that's been interesting, or are teachers or principals weirded out by that, or is it just normal?
They've all been pretty good at taking it in their stride.
Do you do canteen?
I haven't done canteen. I have done excursion trips. So we've been to the Botanic Gardens. I've been to the Road Safety Centre and put the bike helmet on all the other kids and so on. So try to play normal dad there. They've been really good. There was an early kind of discussion where the principal had with my wife one day and said, do we need to acknowledge Simon at the assembly? and she said, no,
please,
he's just
don't.
Here as a dad.
He's a dad.
How are the new senators going? They're all going all right?
Oh, yeah, well, look, I had a great success with them all last week, so I'd rather have more Liberal senators there, my crossbench friends in their eclectic makeup are all good and decent people, even though I don't agree with them all the time.
All right, there's nothing wrong with
what
that.
What a world we live in.
Yeah, the Minister for Education and Training, Simon Birmingham.
That was my audition for Foreign Minister with public diplomacy.
Really great, really great.
On the Central Coast at Terrigal High today, thank you so much for coming in and answering our questions. Have a quick chat.
Thanks, guys. My pleasure.